You brought up yesterday the compliance question, which I still not really found satisfaction, but there is something in the literature about this as a find that's uncovered. But as I read a passage from the Chidah that he located, it was actually what I suggested yesterday, without the raya, not the raya that Ephraim brought from Cheresh, but rather the observation that you don't have to read the Yatzar Ha'isa, that she has to be able to get married. The Yatzar Ha'isa could just mean that she's free to remarry on the basis of him, which sounds, the Chidah sounds like very much he says that. The problem is the Chidah seems to be explaining the Gemara, but in the Gemara, that undermines the Gemara's whole point. The Gemara wanted to say in its drasha that how do you know that chutzpi katan is no good? Because if you said, but if a katana can be miskareshes, even though she can't get remarried, so biyatza v'haisa means as long as she can eventually remarry. If you have to look at the way things are right now, that she can't marry now, then you wouldn't be able to give her a get if her father were no longer in the picture. And so the Gemara wants to make the analogy from that to if you megaresh chutzmin akatan. So the fact that since in the future he will be able to have kiddushin, so right now it's already considered a shir beget. But once you say biyatza v'haisa, it doesn't mean by the katana that she mamish has to be, that a woman has to be able to remarry, just that she's now free from the previous husband. So in theory, she's free to marry. A chereshes and a katana can't remarry right now. A chereshes probably never, unless you assume a chereshes might be healed, which seems not so likely. So both chereshes and katana, the get should work because they're free to remarry. They may not be able to remarry, but they're free to remarry. But once you say that, then you lose the whole raya of the Gemara, which again works nicely for Rabbi Chananel, but it doesn't work nicely for the Girsta habit that exists in every manuscript we have, and almost all the Rishon with that. Okay, so I believe that if anybody wants to add anything to that, the Sefer that a friend located happens to be a Sefer. I didn't know there was a whole Sefer published. I think that's what happens today when someone comes out with a controversial halachic proposal or ruling. So that I think it was based in Haifa, had ruled in a case of a husband who was in a vegetative state that you could do get zikui. Now, whether it works, whether you want to agree with it or not, it's not the craziest idea in the world because it's reasonable to assume. I mean, if you were to ask me, God forbid, if I want the vegetative state, of course I want that to give my wife a get wash. It should be stuck to me.
Can you remind us what a get zikui is?
What?
Can you remind us what a get zikui is?
I'm sorry. A get zikui is to say, normally, I can give Ephraim a gift on your behalf, and if you don't refuse it when you first hear about it, it's yours from the moment I give it to Ephraim. That's
right.
So the assumption is that a man would want to give his wife a gift, so we just act as a zachon works become shlichus. Ephraim zilch for you, because presumably we want that. So here, obviously a much broader step, is to say the husband, of course, would want us to give his wife a gift. So I would hope it's true for most men would feel that way. I would feel that way. Hope we'd never be in that situation. But it still requires a few other leaps. It's not a simple zachem, but that's what this book of, 600 pages was written in response to this, the ruling of the Beis Din, explaining why it's all impossible and so on. That is not anywhere near as controversial as the get zikah that had been proposed here by some, in which the argument was that where the husband is saying, I don't want to give a get, but we're going to do it anyway on his behalf because it's his chus for him, which is like, no. Like it's zachen, the one rule that always works with zachen is that if the person has a right of refusal, if the moment you hear that Ephraim has done it, you say, I'm not interested, I don't want his gemara, then it turns out it was never yours. That was a controversy some number of years ago, which I know I gave a share about and engaged in some discussion about, but in this context, this entire sefer was written even against this get zikui, where I think most of us would agree, in principle, the husband would probably want to give his wife a get, probably. Okay, so now let's continue in the Gemara then. And the reason in the sefer, the section that I'm located, is dealing with is a chereshes bar havaya, is the discussion. Okay, so let's go on in the Gemara now. Yoni, can I please ask you to read? In the Gemara. So now the question then is, chutzman ha-noladim. Okay, so firstly, just a comment. The word noladim, what does the word noladim mean?
The unborn.
That's an interesting question of what the English means. I guess the term unborn. Well, no. Unborn,
in a Christian context, it's always used for abortion stuff, right?
You know, so unborn doesn't work. Because unborn might be never born. But noladim, which is very strange from a grammatical perspective, means those who will be born in the future. There is a Mishnah Dharma, look it up, it's not important for our purposes now, that distinguishes between hanodim and hayilodim versus hanodim and hanoladim. So I think hayilodim, it's not a common word, but it's found by, I think it's found by Yoshua and Mila.
That's a kohav and hayilod, right?
Yes, but the question is that past or future? So there, I think it's kolam hayilodim bamidbar baderach. So it means we're born already, but no ladim is somehow taken to mean who will be born, which is strange, because there are two words. I know that Hebrew may not be that much of a requirement anymore here, but no lad and no lod. No lad is past tense. No lod is present. It's, you've always got to remember those. It's kamatz in the present tense and patach in the past tense, unless you're dealing with lamed yud verbs. Shakol.
Yeah.
What do you say?
I don't differentiate between a kamatz and a patach anyway.
It's a kamatz and a segol.
Oh. No, but Nehiyah is future tense, right?
No.
Nehiyah is present tense, I mean, right?
Yes,
present tense, and Nehiyah is past tense.
Correct. Be careful, the word Nehiyah can also be future, if it's a binyan kal.
Right.
But we're not talking about that. Nehiyah, right. When you have nir'ah and nir'ah, the remainder, remember, it's the reverse of the norm. Normally, it's nichtav is past tense, nichtav, the kamatz is present tense, nichtav, nichtavim, nichtavos. But in the lamed yud verbs, or lamed hey verbs, or lamed yud verbs, it's reversed. In other words, the kamatz goes to the past tense. That's the only way I can remember it. So Ashkenazim say shakol niyeh bitvaro is present tense. Sfaradim say, what do you say? Nihiyah?
I still say nihiyah. I guess I should
fix that. So nihiyah bitvaro, I think, is past tense. This one counts more than gefen and gafen. It doesn't.
Sfaradim say nihiyah?
No, Sfaradim say nihiyah.
Oh. I thought Ashkenazim also say nihiyah.
Nihiyah. We say the segol.
Oh. Oh, oops.
Yeah.
What?
Sorry.
Shacholiyah
b'dvaro,
no?
I think I looked this up one time.
I'm pretty sure. Shacholiyah b'dvaro. That's what Ashkenaz would say. Okay, so you're aspiring to be Sparty. You can only aspire to
Shaniska.
So that's the way to remember it. So either way, no ladim is strange, but that's Lashon B'nei must have been. No ladim is those who will be born in the future. So that's just the oddity of the language. So the question is, can we look at what is or what might be? So Amar Lay, the answer that the Gemara comes to give, go ahead, Yoni. And Isa. Yeah, and that was the Eved or the guy could convert, could be free, and therefore it should be considered Shir Beget. The fact that it's not a Shir Beget, because the Mishnah says it's not a Shir Beget, means that we don't look at the potential, we look at the present. So yesterday we saw the Rashba, who explains the difference between this potential and the potential of a katan to turn into a gadol. And he gives a couple of different reasons why they're distinct. The Gemara says that when you the Gemara says not definitively, but compared to the likelihood of giur, so the likelihood of being born is far greater. Now, here one can ask the following question: what does it mean, no ladin? Is it referring to the fetus in utero, or the abstract no ladim? The Mishnah in Kiddushin in the third parak talks about being makadesh an isha shelo bala olam when ishto was meuberis already, if I'm not mistaken. Ukar ubra, I think that's what the Mishnah has. So I'm not sure that you can, I'm not even sure according to Rabbi Meir, you could be makadesh a person's daughter who will be born in the future if she's not already in utero. Right, the father cannot be Mekadesh his abstract daughter who might be born in 10 months or later from now, or even 7 months later from now. It has to, I think the Gemara says, has to be Hukar Ubra. Otherwise, it's not just a double Shabbat Olam, it's a non-entity. So the difference, of course, between it's one thing to say an Ubar is most likely to be born. Once a woman reaches the stage of Hukar Ubra, probably it's a miscarriages are a minority. But to say that you could, let's say I say I'm being the garish you, except for all the men who will be born in the future after October of 2023. So October 2023, approximately. Anybody born then has not yet been conceived. So would the Gemara have suffix in that case? I tend to doubt it. I assume that noladim means, in this context, I could be wrong, by nedarim, noladim would be anybody who's born in the future, but that's because that's a nedar lashon v'neyadim. That's whatever you take as your vow is your vow. Here, the whether it's a shi or beget, would that really apply to some to a child who's not even a figment of somebody's imagination? Or maybe only a figment of somebody's imagination, but not a clump of cells. I don't know the answer to that question, but part of this, in other words, what is the likelihood of giyur? So there's a reason why I asked this question, not just stam, because it's interesting, because it's, you know, tests thinking, if it really does. I asked the question because what is the difference between a ger and a katan? The Gemara just says, Hanach lav l'iguyure kayame, hanach l'islayude kayame. What does that mean?
We say that by a ger, you have to do an act of conversion as opposed to a katan who just with time will.
So what, that is one possibility. I think you're correct, but I think there's maybe more than that. You know, but that's why I raise the question of, is this fetus already, is this a fetus, or is this not even that? Right? In other words, that distinction assumes that it's already in the fetal stage, which I think is probably the case. Daniel?
I know this is not what we're looking for here, but for me, it's just like it's a probability thing. One is probable, one is not as probable.
Okay, that's...
It's a super balabatra svara. I just feel like it's what the Gemara means.
So I think there's another element, which, again, the Gemara has elsewhere. It doesn't say it in the sugya, and I think it might say it in the sugya in Kiddushin, yeah?
One happens unless something stops it, the other doesn't happen unless
That's what Jonathan said. So there's another element here, which, even if it's not true here, and it's not the Gemara's formulation, but it is used elsewhere in a similar kind of context, which is gerus is not biyada. In other words, the fetus, assuming, I have to take for granted Jonathan's suggestion, we're dealing with the fetus already, so it's going to happen on its own. Nobody has to do anything, and the fetus needs nobody's permission to be born. But a ger requires a basin, who says a basin is going to convert him. So this Gemara makes this distinction elsewhere.
But then it's not really biyado versus not biyado. Both of them are not biyado. They're just, one of them is not biyado, but it's automatically going to happen, and the other one is not biyado, and somebody else needs to decide.
Well, no. The point is, you're right, it's not biyado, but there's no yad acher that's not akeves, is my point.
Okay.
Right, so it's not biyado in the sense that it's even better than biyado. It's better than biyado, because it's memela. As we often talk about, let's say, nemonos, if a sofer wrote you a sefer Torah, and then he says, oh, by the way, it's possible because I wrote the Shema Shelo L'Shma. So if the Sefer Torah is still in the Sofer's hands, he's believed it's biyado and it's possible. If the Sefer Torah is in your hands, the Sofer might be believed to be master of his Har, but he's not Neman to be master of the Kashrus of the Sefer Torah because it's no longer biyado. So we have this distinction on it. But this is better than the fetus. In other words, the Geret's not biyado. The fetus doesn't even need to do anything. Normally we say, biyado can, for example, in the sugya, we did it the last semester, in the sugya of Echad Neman Bisur, the beginning of Perek HaYishar Rabba. So the Gemara wants to know, is an Echad Neman Keneged Cheskas Isser? So one of the cases that the Gemara dismisses as proof, even though he's Neman, is when it's biyado, when it's your teva, when it's your konamos, biyado lishal, biyado to separate the trumas and isos. So there, it's a chiddush because you have to do something, but since you have the power to do so, it creates them honest for you. But if something happens in the Mela, that's even better. It's beyond the Abishta. So no one has to do anything. Yeah.
Couldn't we say that they're actually, meaning, I don't know like OBGYN stuff enough to know about this, but like, does birth happen in Mela, or do you need the, like, let's say like you had a really bad midwife or OB or whatever, isn't it really biyadam to decide what's going to happen over here?
I mean, normally, probably in 9 out of 10 cases of nature, so a woman will give birth, you don't need the midwife, might assist, might catch the baby and so on, but if that weren't the case, then there would be, the human race would have survived. You know, you ever see a wildebeest, you know, you watch the National Geographic films, and do you ever see the wildebeest, you know, die in childbirth? Now, I assume in the animal kingdom there must be animals that die in childbirth also. And in fact, I will tell you that in primitive societies, Jared Diamond has in his book, The World Until Yesterday, he talks, I mean, this is horrifying, but I guess these tribes where the woman would be left on her own to birth, and you had this case, this woman is screaming, she's whatever, and she dies in childbirth. But that was like, that was the way you, if you couldn't survive that, well, then you couldn't survive. You couldn't keep up with the tribe. So that might have been more normal once upon a time. I like to think what we do is much more advanced, because we believe that human beings are, we're not, we're, we, even though we may be biologically Darwinian, but we are spiritually supposed to rise above that and be like the Malachi Hasharis, so therefore we don't do that. But I think Al Pi Rov, you wouldn't really, you don't really need a midwife. So, I mean, besides just read last week's parsha, so the Jewish woman, it's Pharaoh Shariah. So, when the midwife said that to Paro, there had to be some degree of plausibility, because if no woman could give birth without someone's assistant, Paro would look at him and said, "You're lying to me." Right?
I thought we believed in Yehuda Sadaros. You don't believe it. You're saying that it's exactly the same now as it was back then.
Yes, biologically, yes.
Halakhically speaking, yes. In terms of whether it's the Adam or not, yes.
Yoni.
So this is similar. I think I'm going to say something a little bit distinct, but similar. It seems like it's a question of, do you have to pump on the brakes, or do you have to pump on the gas? As in, there's active versus passive.
Right, but my argument is why the Biyado, he said it's not Biyado anybody, and the argument is even better. Right, you're just saying the same thing. In other words, the ger requires someone to step on the gas. For the vlad not to be born, in effect, someone has to step on the brakes. Right, either really mamash killing the fetus, but we're not assuming that. The same thing can happen to a katan, or just through its nature, its course, in this child doesn't survive. But so, but that's the same thing. No, I think that's amounts to the same thing. Okay.
And also, like, it seems that.
Jewish people are what?
People are around because they perpetuate, not necessarily because they, I mean, yes, because they have converts, but also just because they perpetuate.
They reproduce?
Yes, they reproduce.
Okay. I'm trying to understand.
It seems like that's just a bigger factor.
Well, yeah, I mean, yes. Look, what is the probability of a given person? What is the single most likely determining factor that someone is a from Jew? Whether their parents were from Jews. That's the single most likely determining factor. Right? That's so, yes.
And also, if you want to think of probabilities, the whole world, 7 billion people or whatever who are alive and were born, but how many people can really do Judaism?
A relatively small number. Right.
This would be the only information that would allow us to explain that it's referring to even children who are not yet in vitro.
Which explanation?
Whoa, what?
Your probabilities. Meaning the idea that the world is kind or is only to have children.
Okay, right. So right. So look, it's not probabilistic. It's virtually definite.
You don't
know which ones, but you know that there will be, right? Yeah. As opposed to the.
Unless does not want to try to kill Lazar again.
Yes.
Not recommended.
Okay. Yes. All right. So now. And the Gemara does not, the Gemara thinks they're not perfectly analogous. So now the Gemara continues. Go ahead. Chutz Melachoso. What did I skip one? No, it's Chutz Melachoso. Right, so here a man gives his wife a divorce and says, you can't marry your brother-in-law. Meaning your sister's husband. Now, right now, she's not a bas habayit. Because again, the only, I think we're not interested in Shira and Seder, the only kiddush, the only arayos that disappear under any given circumstances are, I'll leave me that in the picture, are Ashes Ish with the death of the husband or divorce. Ashes Ach, the Makom Mitzvah, when the brother dies without any children, subject to several other relatively rare conditions, then the brothers may marry her. Eish Esach is overridden. A brother may marry her. And Achos Ishto. Achos Ishto, after a woman dies, then her sister can marry her former husband. Doesn't matter whether they were married when she died, doesn't matter whether they were divorced when she died. Once it's only Osir Litzor Legalos Erbasala Bahaya. So the Gemara's question here is what happens if he says you can marry anyone but my former brother-in-law now, your sister's husband. So right now, there's no kiddushin anyway, so it's not a problem. That's the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara is not asking the question if the sister had died, but it's obvious that it's a shear beget. But the sister hasn't died. Who says the sister's going to die? So the Gemara says, what about in that case? Did we say that Hashda Mielachasa, that she can't, she's an error right now? Or maybe her sister will die, and then, and therefore, V'chaziale means that she is, what does V'chaziale mean, if you were to flesh out the translation? I know what the words literally mean. You know, that's literally, I know, but flesh it out. V'chaziale is like something understood, but it's not, because we'll spell that. V'chaziale now. In other words, right now she can't have kedushin, right? It's like Abba and Avicha, but it doesn't matter because since it's possible that there will be a heter kedushin with her brother-in-law in the future, Chazile, she's uyalo now. Even if she can't marry him now, but for the purposes of a get, it's a sheer beget. Okay, so the Gemara answers, tries to answer, Amalei. And nonetheless, we say that it's not a shear, because right now, they're not converted, they are not free. So he answers, so conversion is not common. Death is common. Now, death is common. Remember, the Kal Gadol is there are only two things in lives that are inevitable. Death and taxes. It's a recession-proof business to go in the funeral home business. You know, you might have to sell slightly less expensive coffins, but you always got customers like that. So misa shchita, but that's not what it means here, right? You know, chayim sofam lamos. That's not what this means when we say that misa shchita. What you translate misa shchita? Please don't tell me death is common. I know that's what the words mean. What does misa shchita mean here?
Death is inevitable.
The death of this brother-in-law, this sister-in-law, is common enough that even though Gavrus is not common enough to make it a shiur, but the death of this, of course, his wife's sister is always going to die at some point, but it only matters if she predeceases A, her husband, and B, her sister. Otherwise, there won't be anything to talk about. So we say misa is common, not common enough occurrence that it already constitutes a shiur now. Yes.
So here we're going to talk about just probability, basically.
Well, that's where the Gemara has gone with this, yes.
So, but you still don't think that in the previous part it was talking about probability? In the Kaima, not Kaima?
That's not the language the Gemara uses. The Gemara uses the language of Avida. That speaks not to the probability, but rather to the what I'll call the normalness of something. That's why, in other words, I think it was your suggestion that actually fits best with the Gemara. One, I think it's yours. That which happens on its own versus that which has to be done. Avida.
Is it kaime?
What's that?
It said, right, the language was hanach
lavi. Yes, kaime means, and the other language was
shchicha. But both were.
Yes.
But both were talking about gear.
That's not the default path.
But both are talking about gear, right?
No, one's talking about children being born.
No, I know, but in the previous, we compared...
So my point is, that in that case, kaime means, I'll call the default option. What's the default option? You could say it's probability, and I don't think so. The default option is, children are born. That's just what happens. Once the, you know, whether or not it's the broader sense or the specific uber, children just are born. The natural talich, without any intervention, is the child is born. It's like kaime. You don't say the gayure kind. We don't say, you know, even if you don't accept the mostly Christian position that a fetus is life, we certainly recognize in the Ramban and Tosfos formulation that a fetus is potential life, right, for the purposes of Chol Shabbos. The Tosfos and Ramban needed up and down. So we certainly, I don't think we look at a guy and say, oh, I see a potential convert there. I don't think we do that. But we look at an ubar and we would say it's a potential life.
I'm just noting that we compare gear to two things. The two parts of the gear. One of them is new life. One of them is death. Right. So I'm saying they're very parallel. And I'm inclined, even though they're different words, I'm inclined to read them in a similar way.
No, right. Except for here's the precisely because the language difference is what tells you not to A and B. That's why I made the point there.
Okay.
The issue is not probability of death. The probability of death for any one of us is 100%. It's one. Right. That's the probability of death.
Me.
But the question of the question of probability of death of the right timing is what is greatly reduced.
Right, okay, okay.
It's like two people are being chased by the lion. I don't think that's the lion. I mean, you're running you.
Right. I'm not sure I understand the connection.
Take one.
He's saying you only need to have these two survive the lion.
Right.
Okay, so the Gemara says, Misa... Now, the Rishonim comment here, I think I put it in the Mashpat, the Ritva says, or the Ritva and the Rabban say, Misa Shchicha doesn't mean Misa... So here's a data point earlier in the Sechna. May you do the third paragraph? Okay. A man gives his wife a get. Let me start with the following. A man is ill. He's not the deathly ill. One second. So the question is, can his wife be truma? We don't know if he's alive or not. And the answer is yes, because he has a cheskes chayim. And we don't say chashinan shema yamos. A man gives his wife a get. I said that wrong. We don't say shema meis. A man gives his wife a get and says, this get will be chal an hour before I die. He wants her to avoid the situation of Yibur Chalitza. The Mishnah says she can't eat truma. Well, why not? Well, the answer is because he might die in an hour. So one of the answers, I always thought this was the final answer, I'm not 100% sure, the Gemara makes a distinction between Shema Meis and Shema Yomos. Shema Meis lo chashina and Shema Yomos chashina. So when we say Shema Yomos, I think it's predicated on the fact that everybody eventually dies. And the fact that I'm alive now in no way undermines the fact that I'm going to die eventually. And therefore, my chazakah is that I am alive now, if you don't know otherwise. But it's not that I will be alive in an hour from now. And since what my status will be in an hour from now determines what the din is now, she's not allowed to eat truma. But if we're determining the status now, determined by now, Shema Meis Lo Chashina. Similarly, you have in the Machlokes, but in the first Mishnah Yoma, right? We prepare a second Kohen Gadol for the Avodah. Why do we do that? Because maybe the Kohen will become Tamei, something will happen in Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yehuda says, Af Ishacheres Maskin L'Tachtav. We prepare a backup wife for him. That's kind of a funny concept. We touched upon this last semester. We did one little piece on the Gemara there about the Croesus. So the Rabbi Chachamim say, we're not Choshesh Misa. Because if you're Choshesh Misa for one, then you have to have multiple wives because Ein L'davar Sof. All of them could die. But we usually assume that Misa lo Shchicha. So the Gemara here says Misa Shchicha. What do you do with this? The answer is no. Misa is Shchicha. It depends in comparison to what? Right? It is more common than winning the Powerball jackpot. It is less common than someone being Miskayer. You know, that's what the Gemara is saying. So Misa Shchicha just means relatively speaking. Okay. Gemara continues. Here's the fun one. Go ahead. Jonathan, can I ask you to pick up from here?
Sure.
Chutz
Mizusev. Chutz Mizusev Mahu.
So just what he says is very strange here. Chutz Mizusev. Mitzad Ishasish, Znos is not a problem. It's just a problem Mitzad Znos. But that's its own problem. So the Gemara Yevamos. The Gemara Yevamos says, and according to one sheet, we may not pass this way, but if a Beis Din is Matru and Isha Terimera on the basis of any Erechot, so according to one sheet, at least, she's pata from a carbon chattas, if the husband turns out to be alive, because she followed a horas basedin. Okay? It's a machlokas, yochid she'asab horas basedin, whether the pata or chayim. In other words, are you only pata when a rovatzibur follows a psaka the basedin, or even a yachid who follows horas basedin? So the Gemara does say that even if you hold that a yachid who followed the horas basedin is petura from a chattas, because she's considered ones, probably. So nonetheless, question is, the Mishnah says that if she went and she was an almana married to Kohen Gadol, Grusha married to Kohen Gadol, or any of these things, she's chayav asachatas. And the Gemara says, oh, the maskana of the Gemara is, they never gave her permission to do that. Right? They gave her permission to marry. What the Gemara does say is that if she committed zinus with someone, the maskana of the Gemara, with holcha v'kilkama, is the Mishnah language of the Mishnah, holcha v'kilkama. The Gemara's maskana is that it's only if she violated, had sex with someone she couldn't have married. It's awesome to marry. Not that it could be tosim, it's awesome to marry. But if she was this zins as a penuria, so then she's covered by that. That's what the maskana of the Gemara is. Which is kind of interesting, right? Because, in other words, a husband giving his wife a get is not a mehetah for snus for her, on the one hand. On the other hand, it's enough for the Gemara to say that it's a hetah from the ishus ish that came before. Meaning, implied by Ashes Ish is a heter snus, even though snus is awesome. It's kind of interesting to think about this kind of thing. So the Gemara asked the question here. Chutz misnusich. He's a very firm guy. So he says to his wife, well, this is your gap, but no snus. So, what? So let's continue. I'll go back to the point.
Wait, meaning Ashes Ish is what? What's the relationship between Ashes Ish and Snus?
Let me restart. So in this case, the man says to his wife, this is your get. And I read with Teres Lachalana, except for you can't have shenus. Now she could have shenus anyway, but not mitzad. Normally it would be mitzad because whatever the issur is, it's nus. So you're not allowed to do that. It doesn't carry the death penalty. It may not even carry the penalty of malchus, but you're not allowed to do it. So he doesn't need to answer her. The difference is, if he says, if that clause were to be binding, then if she had znus, she'd be violating ishus ish. So the question, now, he's not preventing her from marrying anybody, that's why the Gemara asked the question, but he is preventing her from having znus. So this is the first question in the Gemara that is being asked that has the impact, what has shifted in the Gemara? It's a small shift, but it's a very important shift. Maybe it's a big shift. What a shift! This is the first changing of gears in the Gemara's ibayis. Shimon,
it's going from forbidding her from marrying people who right now she can't marry anyway to causing certain aspects of the marriage to linger.
Okay, so that's excellent formulation, especially in the second half, which is the important part. I would just say the question is: it's going from people excluded from the head there of the get, but it happens that those people are not mutter right now anyway, to now focusing on other aspects of the marriage. But in contrast to those questions that are going to follow a little further, it is a substantive part of the marriage to the extent that it entails violation of... It relates to the bia, which is a central component of the marriage. Right? So the fact that a woman who is married cannot do two things. I mean, there are many things she probably does, but there are two things that she can't do. One, she cannot marry another man. Number two, it doesn't work. And number two, she cannot have snus with another man. So the first part of the Gemara was just speaking about when you megarish your wife, now can she marry, but you say you can't marry so-and-so, well, it doesn't really matter because you couldn't marry so-and-so anyway. Now we've said, okay, I'm not excluding some from the head of their marriage, but I'm excluding a particular piece whose issur is exacerbated precisely because you were married to me. Because you were married to me, snus. Was it totally, there's no subordination, there's no plea, are two totally different things. One violates one of the Ten Commandments, and the other one minimally violates Kedushas Yisrael, being a holy people. Maybe it violates Allah, maybe it violates something else. So it's really, and the marriage has an impact on the Isser of Zos, a big impact, and he's kind of holding back that piece. It's an aspect of the marriage. Shimon, you say so?
Regardless of whether or not this violates Viatza Vahaisa, wouldn't this violate Kvisa since there wasn't an expiration date?
Isn't that true of all of these cases?
Yeah.
So you waited to now test the question.
Well, I did. The other ones were things that if it was fine,
you're saying
it
might not be
an
issue at all.
But here, it's definitely applying.
In other words, all of these things.
It's like if the Ishar Achosayach isn't the problem, then it's.
That's a really good. Someone want to answer that question? That's a really good question, right?
And if you hold like the ground that the issue of Greece is like Shashbital, if they get here, there's no issue of Shashbital get. In the Ran solution to the Ramadan about when is.
In other words, the Rambam says that there has to be a possible, Rambam says has to be a potential in a lifetime to have such a thing.
I So the way the Rambam says it is that it's because there's always a chashash that she'll that the girl will be chozer batel. So she's always under the fear of being married to this guy.
And therefore?
And then in this case, there's no chashash batel again. It's just a chot, it's not tonight.
Okay, so, I'm sorry. What you just did was this. So, I was... Okay, the answer I was going to give, I think is a much more straightforward way of saying that, is that once you entertain... There's krisos, is it tonight? Is it tonight again? I give you a get. And for whatever that gerushin is for, it has to be that you're not tied forever on those aspects of the gerushin. Here, you're carving out a piece of the gerushin. The parts of the gerushin that are there, Shimi. Let's take this last example. That you can marry so-and-so, you can marry so-and-so, you can marry so-and-so. Even if he attacked, it could even have a tzai attached to that, there's krisos on those things. There will be a point which she can do it. The fact that she can't have znus is not because he gave her a get, but there's a tznai still tied to the get, so maybe the get is l'cha. Right? And that's, maybe that's sort of what you're saying. That's, it's not, you said, that's it. You almost had it there. You said it funny. In other words, this get is definitely l'cha with respect to certain things. The issue of krisus is that maybe the get won't be l'cha. So here, if she has znus, the get's still the get. She's just chayiv for that particular thing. By the Amanashko Tishtiyai and the Olam, if she drinks the wine, in other words, there will be no point at which she's guaranteed that the get will be a get. There's no point at which she'll be able to say, okay, now I know this get is a get for sure. In this case, the get is a get for sure with respect to A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. If that's a legitimate get. If it's not considered a sheer get, so all the things that the get is relevant to, that it's shaykh to, all those things are the Olam. And the Znus, well, that's, she's just not megureshes with respect to Znus, and if it works, you don't care that it's not krisus, because it's not that he was megaresha with respect to Znus, but with a tnai that ties her forever. No, he wasn't megaresha with respect to Znus. In other words, we're saying krisus means the gerushin parts that you do have to have finality of some kind at some point. We're discussing here what gerushin aspects have to be included in order to be a gerushin. So it was a good kasha, maybe probably technically we call it a plus kasha, a definitional question, and if Frank's answer is correct. Yes, Frank.
That only all works if you assume it's tries to get in that it's a remnant of the previous issue.
Is there any way other than around that?
So this rush sounds like it's a new issue.
Why would you have a new issue? Because it's already us. So whatever this one's nos is us already.
I mean, there's a new issue of nos on this woman.
I haven't seen Tosfos or Rush, but why am I going to be doubtful about this? All right.
I think it's...
Okay. Anyway, I will have to look at it. But in the meantime, let's work with this as the answer. Okay.
Was there something at the end of last semester that we saw that there's an integrity issue which is, I don't know, made by a divorce?
Mm-hmm. I don't want to say no, but I don't remember such a thing. That doesn't mean... That I don't remember doesn't mean that we didn't say it. Okay, so that's the Gemara's question. What if is a tanai that accepts or carves out znos legitimate? So the Gemara says. So that's the question. So to the first half part we understand, and we have to presume that based upon what the Gemara says in the first half of that, what the second half means. Do we say that it works because there's no exceptions in terms of her capacity to remarry, or do we say sheer bibia, which would mean that presumably it's an aspect of marriage, that an aspect of Isra that was created by the first marriage that still remains in effect. So the Gemara says, tries to answer this one. Go ahead. So the Mishnah says, if you accept Abba and Abicha, the get is good. So Rumai, what's the case? What are you saying? This is your get chutz me'av avicha.
Yilei ma b'nisuin, abba v'avicha b'nei nisuin inu, elolav b'znus.
So you can't carve out the father and father-in-law from your marriage. It's kind of irrelevant what he says. It must be even b'znus. And then, now, let me ask you a question. So what does it mean, then, to exempt from Znosis? Znosis is also Asa. What does it change? In other words, she can't marry them because he's Shorantosi. She can't have Znosis because it's Av or she's Kalasa. So what does it mean that Ela Biznus, Ela Biznus? So what is it according to the Hamam in the Gemara, what does the carve-out actually accomplish? As the Gemara said, you can't carve out the Kiddushin of Av and Avicha because there's nothing to carve out, it doesn't work. So instead, the Znos is also Aser. I mean, I don't want to say it doesn't work, it happened, it is a fact. So what's the answer? Basically, the Torah Skitten says it, and he's not addressing it this way, but what's the answer? What is the point of carving out Znos?
In terms of maintaining an Isser Ish and Ish on top of the Isser of Avad.
Yeah. In other words, you have multiple Isser now. And that's because you've had Isser Chalas, and we'll talk about when we read the Torah Skitten.
So the Gemara says, and Ula Avala Vicha. Right, now presumably the clauses of the Mishnayos are parallel, so by anybody else, those listed in the Mishnah and those people she's completely mutter to, Znus would be an unacceptable carve-out. So the Gemara says, yeah, it went through the motions of actually getting married. That's what it meant. When he says, you know, the Gemara says, chutz me'aba micha, is not Znus. It means, he was saying,
it's like
go
Dilma.
Ahead.
What? It says Dilma. Right?
Might be. I agree. They're always saying is you can't bring a rye. That's all.
Right.
Is it possible to read the Mishnah? He was saying you can't get married to them. Oh, getting married doesn't work. But yeah, but sometimes people do it anyway. This, I pointed out to a couple of you yesterday, is Tosus kind of ignores this on Pigim Omanah. But Tosus is trying to understand the case of one of Rabbi Akiva's Chuvas to Rabbi Eliezer, a man who marries, who is Megarish, his wife Omanah, that she not marry Reuven. And she goes and she marries Shimon and has children, and now Shimon dies and divorces her. And she goes and marries Reuven, so then the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva says, Nimsa, get Batel Van Elamzer. So Tosus says, what do you mean, get Batel Van Elamzer? If she goes and marries Reuven after she was married to Shimon and kids, she undoes the get retroactively, and therefore the Nisuin to Reuven is not a Nisuin. I think that's where I said in Shiv, this is the endless loop. But Tosus gives to Tosus. That's Nosus Kasha. The simple answer would have been to say, he didn't mean, Manashal Tinasi the Plony, that you don't have halachic nisuin. He meant to say, don't go marry. Don't go, you know, don't go to Roma and take out, rent out the wedding hall. The first one came to mind. Don't go to the Palestinian and rent out the wedding hall and get a bridal dress and march down the aisle and perform an act of Kiddushin. Of course it doesn't work, but that was what the Tanai was. So we'll turn out when you do it, you don't say, oh, well, it's not bought though because the Tanai is fulfilled because it's not really an Yisurin. No, it is an Yisurin. It's not Allah an Yisurin. But it's practically speaking, that's what he was saying. Tosus doesn't say it. Tosus comes up with the Teretz. Oh, you know why we're concerned? Because maybe she'll go get married to Reuven after the original husband died. And at that point, the Kiddushin will be toasted because my mother's up. She's either Grusha or she's an Almana. Tosus could have used this teretz. The Rashba, the Rashba quotes this. The Ramban and Rufa say this. That's Avar Vintziv is the same thing there. So here the Gemara says Avar Vintziv means they went through the motions of a marriage. Okay.
What other things does the Gemara? Fascinating examples the Gemara have here. Go ahead.
Please mention Lo Kedarka Mahu. The Kedarka Halushir Odilma Mishkavei Ishaktziv.
Okay. Now, so here the Gemara says, what if they have Biyash Lo Kedarka? Which would be anal intercourse. Now, what is the significance? Now, there's a third kind of bia, if you want to call it that, in halachic literature, which is bia derech evarim, shari evarim, which is any kind of sexual activity which doesn't entail one of these two kinds of penetration, bia kedarka, bia shelo kedarka. The status of that bia, generally speaking, is it's lo sikravu. I mean, if it's your wife, it's not lo sikravu. But the status of those things with regards to Isure Bia, Isure Arayas, is that it would be Lo Sikruvu. There's no Misa. Whatever the issue of Lo Sikruvu is, whether it's the Reis or Rasmatha, that's what it would fall under the category of. So the Gemara, interestingly enough, does not ask those questions, which is interesting. Right? The Gemara asks the question of Bia Shelo Kedarka because that is a function of Ishus. If a person is
ba on one of the arayas. If a person is ba yevimto, ba ishto, for kiddushin purposes, bia shalom kedarka. So I think bia shalom kedarka is always treated like bia kedarka. I don't know if there are any exceptions. I don't remember if Shivcha Charufa, but Shivcha Charufa is an exception to that. I don't remember if there's some maybe strange exception in Arama Rasa, but on the whole, bia shalom kedarka, you can be kona with the same thing bia kedarka. So it is A, obviously it's not the, I should say obviously, but it is not the typical form of bia. So the Gemara's question is, if you excluded that, but you could have bia kedarka, would that be considered a shir beget? How much is that a function of the ishus? Now, this is still, by the way, pretty close to snus. It's pretty close to the snus question.
So the Gemara says, do you say halo shir, meaning, what does halo shir mean here?
She can marry anyone and she can be with him.
Or do we say odoma?
Mishke be'isha, which is the makor, der shnei mishkavos be'isha. The Torah says it by the ishki ishkavos achar mishkeve'isha. And the fact that obviously when you're talking about two zecharim, the only option is bia shalom kedarka. So yet the Torah calls that mishkevei isha. So that means by a man and a woman, that's also considered full-fledged bia. So again, for almost all purposes. So the question is, once that's considered full-fledged bia, does that carve out constitute a shir beget?
Okay. Next, chutz.
Chutz mei hafaras in derech amahu. In Yisuin halushir, odilma, yisho yikimenu, yisho yikirenu ksiv.
Okay, so the halacha is that a woman takes a vow, a married woman who has Yisuin takes a vow, the husband has the capacity to annul any vows that are either dvarm shebeino leveda, things that are pertain directly to the relationship between the two of them, or things that are dvarm shel inu nefesh, things that will cause her a lot of discomfort, which will potentially then have an impact upon their relationship. So, you know, the expression, it can go both ways, but it's often said, happy wife, happy life. I guess the other way doesn't rhyme as well. Happy husband, happy life. Okay, it doesn't have the same, you know, catchiness to it. But the bottom line is, if she is miserable because she's taken dvarim shel inu nefesh, then it can have a negative impact upon the relationship, and therefore the Torah grants the husband the capacity to annul those two kinds of vows. Now, that can only be done by a husband after Nisuin during the Erisin period. I don't know if anybody is doing Nafyomi. I'm personally a little bit behind, but in the last couple of weeks they've been doing all this stuff in the 10th parak of Anara Marasa. If she's Anara Marasa, her father and her future husband, her Arus, are Mefer B'shutfus. Both of them are required in order to annul the vows. Now, before she has Erisin at that age, Nara, father annuls. If she's had Yisuin, only the husband annuls. If she's a Ketana, neither one can annul. You know why? That's not binding. Maybe if she reaches the age what's called Mufla Samach Le'ish, maybe the year before, but there aren't a doctor, but before that, there are no Nidarim. So, anyway. So the question is, the man says the following. The way Rashi, there's, I think, either Ritva or Rabbeinu Crescas, I forget which one, of the two, who understands all of these, is that the next husband can't be made for your Nadarim. Most Rishonim opt to explain the way Rashi explained two of the three. There's Tosus talks about the bizarre outlier, the Truma one, which is he's retaining rights to himself. So I will retain the right to be Mather your Nadarim. The Gemara wants to know, is that constitute a Shir or not? Do we say, Benisuin halo shir, he didn't leave anything out of the Nisuin, the ability of whom she can marry once again? Or did we say Isha Yikimeno and Isha Yifereno, which means what? If you had to translate concisely, the Gemara is Tzad.
It's an intrinsic part of marriage?
You know, well, I didn't say intrinsic, but
if he can
be made for the Nadarim, he's still Isha.
Couldn't you say the other way? Couldn't you say that if the other husband, meaning if you read the Gemara the other way, you could say the next guy can't be considered her ish if he does not have the power.
That's how they would read it. That's how I think that other sheet would read it that way. I think it's more intuitive this way, and most of the Rishonim prefer it. But I'm not saying that that's impossible. So now here is a point I do want to consider though. Let's say it were not considered a shiur, and the husband were megarish his wife this way. We just say the get is special. And she marries another man who is made for her nadar. Or even if she hasn't married another man yet, who can be made for her to dart? The answer to those two questions is different, but they share a common denominator. And so I think it's a crucial point to remember here. Brian? Let's make it throw at him, please. That's very nice. The Gemara says that, but that's not really true. Ephraim is being a little chacham here, and he's saying, he knows the answer I want him to say, which is the correct one, which is...
No, everything's but the laughter.
It doesn't matter what he says. The get is a get or it's not a get. If the get is a get, he can't be made for the darb. If she remarries, the new has to be made for the darb. It's not so much because of a Torah effect. I mean, not in the sense of a formal tonight, but it doesn't work. You can't change a first darb. The only question is, does it nullify the get? When you reserve for yourself the right to be made for a nedarim, what will not happen is the following. It will not happen that she has been gerashed, but you can still be made for a nedarim, and you can still be made for a nedarim. That is a non-starter. Once she's been gerashed, you cannot be made for a nedarim. If she marries, the new husband is made for a nedarim. The question is, did it invalidate your existence of that she, or did that invalidate the get in the first place? And I believe it did for the other ones here as well. In fact, I'm not as confident, but I might be wrong. The maybe even by Znusay, if such a get were a good get, it might be that, yeah, but she's the Beresha, so she's Mazama, she's Ptur. I'm pretty sure that that should be the case. I'm not as sure by this Znus part, because this Znus is us or anybody, so who knows? But that first the Dharam, it's very, very clear to me. That is the lowest form of being Master Mashiach's Torah. It doesn't work. He cannot be made for another. He can't create his own Judaism. It doesn't work. So that's the question of the Gemara. Does the fact that he retains for himself the right of Afar Sadarim, does that mean that he's still our husband? It's Isha, and therefore it's not a get. Or did we say no, that it's not in the Iker of the Nisuin, it's not who she can remarry, and therefore the get's a good get, and a Marian, and therefore he can no longer be made for Nadarim because she's not married to him anymore. Okay. And then, in that vein, and here's where Rashi flip flops. Go ahead. Chutz. Which again means that if he is, it means she can, the way Tosa says, she can continue to eat truma. She can continue to eat truma, is what he's saying, because I'm a Kohen. And so the Gemara says she's allowed to marry her if she wants, she just is going to continue truma, like she was when she married, and that's what he's suggesting. Or do we say that the capacity, the ability to eat truma for an Ashes Kohen, is because she is king and kaspa. And therefore, if he is reserving that right that she continued to eat truma, it's not his right, but that din, then that's a sheer beget. Okay. Continue.
Chutz mi rishaseich mahu. Nisun haloshir odilma l'sheiro v'yara shosaksin.
Okay. So, this is the last of these three things. So, we started with Shir b'nisun, who she can and can't marry. And then we move to what are called Shir b'bia, aspects of bia that are related to the fact that come along with the Isser being married. But it's not with Isser being married. So whether it's Nus, or whether she can't have bia shalokadaka with anyone. And now we move to aspects, things that go along with whether they're Eis Rabbanim with Nisuin. Let me just give you a backstory here. Hafaras Nadarim for Nisua is a Din D'Oraisa. I mean, Arus, let me take it one step back further very quickly. What are the Nafkaminas of Erusim D'Oraisa when a woman comes to the Kudeshas? There's only one clear, obvious one. Which it is?
Aser Bavia?
Yeah, she's an Eishas Ish, she's an adulteress. Does becoming an Arus have any of the status of the Torah? The answer is, I think there's only one thing in Atara that changes, which is by Anara, Avi Obalim Mefir Berei. The husband gets half zchus in that. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how is the place? She's an Ashes Ish, she's an adulteress who does Bia. But other than Ashes Ish and the partial of Ars Tadam, I don't think there are any nafkaminas for Ars for the rest. What is nafkaminas then between Emerson and Nisun? And now, the other nafkamina, well, let's say there is a heter bia midaraisa. Oros la rusasa, we say, everywhere it's called ochamatzi bere pesach, kibol la rusasa beis chamev. So, the yeshiva boy joke is, well, Rebbe, I've tried them both, they're not the same. The mitvah yeshiva joke is, well, what's the big deal? So, because oros is mutal la rusasa, it's also midarabanan, isn't this midarabanan of oros and arusasa? So,
So what are the midaraisa though the Avison asks on everybody else, and even if there isn't Isser Znos daraisa or Isser Pidlegish daraisa for the Rambam, certainly the Avison creates a hechta midaraisa for Bia. But what changes with Nisuin? Well, for most we show in Tumav Akoi, Koi can be Mitame law. Number two, the Rambam has a funny sheet on that, whether that's really midaraisa, midaraisa. Number two, Aninus. Where Aninus is daraisa, which is primarily by Achilas Kochim and Machilas Masasheni, your onen leishto nesua, no aninus or an avelus midrabanan, or avelus yomishon deraisa for the gonim and chachmei svar, who hold that avelus yomishon is deraisa under certain circumstances. So that none of the aninus and the avelus only begin both midraisa or midrabanan, either way with nesua, not with erison. Eating truma, that goes with erison. An isha midraisa is called kinin taspo when she's had Erisin alone. Nisuan doesn't change that, but Midrabanan, if you learn the Sugyas in the fifth paragraph of Nisubas, Midrabanan, they ask for the Narusa and Din Truma until he gives Nan for the Chuppah, even if they didn't get married, and ultimately, once she actually entered the Chuppah, and the Gemara talks about why they made Xer Midrabanan there. Yerusha is the other one that comes up here. Is Yerusha Sabal Daraisa or the Rabbanan? Answer my question. What?
We talked about it.
Answer my question. You almost can't get it wrong.
Machlokas.
Machlokas. Machlokas Tanayim, Machlokas Amorayim, Machlokas Rishon HaPaskin. The drusha is a very odd drusha. The pshat and the pasuk, if anything, yeah. No, it's not pshat and the pasuk, but if Shero Zoishto, then if anything, a wife is supposed to inherit her husband. Unesatemis Nach Laso, L'Shero Akor Leila. But the Gemara Baba Basu, Yishnokha, the Darshan, Unesatem Nach Alash Shero Lo. So they move the prepositions around and they get the Yerusha Sabal. Many hold this Nas Nachas, many hold that it's a real Din Daraisa. If it is a Din Daraisa, it only takes place at Nisuin, not at Erusin. Okay, so those are various, so there aren't so many of the Din. He's hired to support her. That's a Din Daraisa that only comes with Nisuin. Right? The obligation of Sher Tosfa'ona, which are Daraisa, whatever those three things actually mean, sets in when they have Nisuin, not when they have Erusin. There are other nafkaminas, I mean more subtle ones. The death penalty between of an arusa versus a nesua changes, right? A nara besula marusa gets skila. Everyone else, which includes every nesua, gets chena, unless it's a bas kohen. That's a complicated question of when does a bas kohen get sreifa for adultery. All right. So, anyways, at the bottom line, the Gemara has now asked a series of details that don't relate to the bia aspect that are called the core of marriage, but are dinim that go along with Erusin or Nisuin, various levels of the Raisa, the Rabbanon, and the Gemara wants to know whether those constitute a shiur. Finally, the Gemara goes to one last case, which is kind of fascinating. Go ahead.
Teiku.
Okay, and so we get to say it once a semester. What does the word teiku mean? What does it really mean? The legend, Rav Schechter told me it's a Shita Mekubetzis in Gittin, which we don't have any more, the Chidah quotes. Esau Shita Mekubetzis in Gittin. Stands for Tishbi of Harris Kishon Shabbayas. The actual meaning of Teiku is?
It stands.
Teikum. It's short. The memo always falls off. It stands. Question stands. Okay. Fine. So we don't really have an answer to those questions. Everything except perhaps the way we have the Girsa for a Kotel. That would be constituted this year. So the last one is Bechlal different. It's not an aspect of marriage. It doesn't prevent them from remarrying. It just like picks at the tail of the way you construct the next marriage. Does that constitute some type of a shiur, John?
Is it specific to Kedushay Star, or the question would still be the same if it said Kusmi Kedushay Bia?
I think it would be the same. That makes a difference. In other words, you haven't. It can be Vahaisa, but it can't be all the forms of Havaya.
That's the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, right? He says Star. He says Star, right?
Oh, okay.
Kusmi Star Zibia.
Okay, fine.
We have the magic kasa.
Yeah, no, but so you could be very clever. Someone's going to write a lumpus now. You don't say kesef. Kesef would definitely not be a shear because it's only midrash sofer according to the Rambam. It's the rice if it's not the first of all. So maybe it's not considered a shear. All right, you can write that in the Purim Halavas. In the meantime, the Purim Halavas. Okay. We have one more piece of the which we're not going to start now. Watch out with Parsha for a little bit or relate to Parsha. Any questions on the Gemara itself? Okay. So we're going to, on Sunday is Mikias, we're beginning being the sixth para. And on Monday we will resume here to finish up the Shul Torah Skitten raises here, the Machlokas, the Meshmol Torah Skitten. And so wrap this up, and then we're going to start. We're going to move through relatively quickly. Simas HaGet. I do want to spend a little time, but not a lot of time, just on the Nusach of the Get before we get to the whole topic of Eidei Nesivos.